have to remove myself yesterday. I wanted to join you, you all in the celebration, eating celebration, but I was not able to come because I have another appointment. A brother in the Lord is also celebrating his 50th birthday. So there was a time I was wondering why did my mom and my dad choose my name as Elvin? Because you know the origin of that? My mom's name is Elizabeth and my dad's name is Vincent. They put Elvin together. So the scenario yesterday was I had to split myself. I saw the Elvin there. And also I'm part of what you call this, the Association of Professional Chaplains. And in registry, I am with the BGCT, Baptist General Convention of Texas. But in APC, I'm with the Southern Baptist Convention. Again, I see the Elvin there. But God loves me anyway. God loves us anyway, right? We are opening the series over here this month, the Love series, Kingdom of Love series. And I will kind of start breaking up the bread for this. And I've been in prayer of what would be good for your for the Lord's children to hear this morning. And I could not help but recall the time when I met an elderly person. He was 81, and he was in his deathbed. And his wife was in the room, and his son was in the room. And the nurse called me because he was so scared of dying. And so I was fortunate and blessed to be called in his room. And I could feel that anxiety because he has COPD. COPD? Congestive? Obstructive. See, y'all are in the medical field. I love y'all. He had a very bad COPD. And he asked me that what would be good for him since he doesn't have that peace. And it was such an opportunity to introduce Christ to him. And for him to recognize the finished work of Christ on the cross. And he was absorbing this like a sponge. And so he ended up accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he said, there and then, Chaplain, I feel peace. I feel peace. And he kept on saying this testimony. Well, the following day, I was in the cafeteria and the wife saw me and she was so all excited. She said, Chaplain, he died a few minutes ago. My husband died about 15 minutes ago. You know, and I just need to get out of the room. And it's, when you left the room, he kept on saying he has this peace. He has this peace. Would you please go to the room again and see my son's there? And it was a great honor when I entered the room. The son was there, and the first thing that came out of the lips of the son is, "I have peace." He had peace, and we greatly appreciate that. It's all because of the love of God embracing him and assuring him and affirming his eternal journey with God. And without this love, we brothers and sisters are lost. We are totally, absolutely, eternally lost. So I would like to title this, God the Father's Love, the Prodigal Father, based on 1 John 4, 7 to 11. And actually I added this morning, well, yesterday, also Luke 15. So, I place a comma there, God, the Father's love, or you could read it, God, the Father's love, but I would like to pause there because God is one of the most misunderstood being in the world. when you go into different places, people would be having their own idea of God. Another instance that I have was when I visited another patient, this in 2 South. He was also basically saddened in his life now that his life is ending. He said, "Chaplain, I'm so scared of the wrath of God. I grew up in the church. I turned my back from the Lord. I didn't care about him. Now that age has caught up with me, I am scared of the wrath of God." That's his picture of who God is. Now, each and every one of us in our experiences probably would have some kind of interpretation or idea of who God is. And some of those ideas could be so scary that God has abandoned me, God doesn't care for me, that I feel like God is a million miles away. So we all have our experiences of God. I have. But the scripture brings us to who he is. In 1 John chapter 4, starting verse number 7, it says here, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Don't forget, gentlemen, don't forget the roses, please, for the wives. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The love of God was manifested to us. There's a manifestation. There's a token of God's love. Chocolates for us men and flowers and whatever. But God also had a flower, if you care to use that, a flower for each and every one of us. The love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. There are two parts in this, and part number one would be saying in verse number 9, In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world for us. And so we have an idea of in our persuasion, in our belief, that the center of God's love for us is no one else than Christ. Amen. Hebrews 1:3 says there, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he has provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." Jesus is so beautiful. He is the radiance of God's glory. If we could just grab that in our spirits, that we don't treat Christ as a commoner. He is so precious. He is the radiance of God himself. Of course, part of our persuasion over here too is what he has done in 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. He was put to death in the body but made alive by the Spirit." Could you hear the love there? Could you hear the love there? The righteous, he died for us. Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved." That's why Christ was so bold in saying, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's love there, given to us. Now, I would like to recall the Father's love. Actually, I put the word prodigal there because it's outrageous, right? The love of the Lord and the story in Luke chapter 15, the love of the Father towards the Son, his Son, is so outrageous. It's out of this world kind of love. And so, if you have your Bibles, there are two parts actually over here that I would like to divide in Luke 15. The first one would be in Luke 15:22. "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand, and shoes on his feet. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this, right? And it says here, putting on the best robe, his identity, his shame, the shame of the son, the prodigal son, has been covered by the love of the father. 2 Corinthians 5:17, for if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, the old has passed, behold, the new has come. I hope we could just see each other in this place and remind ourselves, hey, I am a beloved of the Lord. I have a robe, and that robe is Christ. And I would look at you the same thing. There is no offense. You have a robe, brother. You have a robe, sister. And that robe is none other than the Lord himself. He loves you so much that he has given you a new robe, a new identity in the Lord. Kainos anthropos, new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You might love to do the delete button now in your iPod or whatever, because there is nothing in record anymore in the sight of God, the Father, regarding you in Christ. And he has put on a new ring for us. And that ring is our marriage with him. Having believed, you have been sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit, guaranteeing your inheritance until the day of your redemption. You have the Holy Ghost in you. And, of course, we have a new shoes in Galatians 5:16-17. But walk in the Spirit so you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. This is us, brothers. This is not just in the pages of Scripture. This is us currently with a new robe, with a new ring, with a new shoes, depicting the new journey that we have in the Lord. So I was when I was meditating on this and visiting this, you know, wait a minute. There is more to the story, right? And the story goes this way. Then the father said, and bring hither the calf, the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. The father did not just put a new robe, a new ring, a new shoes to the son, but there was a fattened calf. And this is part two. This is where we will be focusing this morning. It says here that the demonstration of God's love is a forgiving love. The demonstration of God's love is also a merciful love. It's a redeeming love. And there are certain verses over there that would capture that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from? Say all again. All. All of this has been forgiven by God Almighty. So he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The merciful love of God, Hebrews 8:12, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from him. We're free. The redeeming love, Colossians 1:13-14, for God has redeemed us out of the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Those three parts has been experienced by the prodigal son. Those three parts has been experienced by each and every one of us, for we are all sinners. But part two of this, the power of God's love, is a healing love. We have just celebrated, of course, the 50th wedding anniversary. I'm going back to you, Tatay Istan and Ati Virch. But there, in that love relationship, there was also certain experiences that you have been affirmed. You have disappointed one another, but you have affirmed one another, and there was healing, the healing love in that experience. Amen? And in our case, it's just the same. We have experienced the healing love of God. So in part 2, it says in Luke 15:23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. There's a lot of dying in a relationship. If we insist ourselves, another person would tolerate it, and there's so many relationships that just die off because people just don't want to give in. What about me? And the other person will be saying, what about me? But in our relationship with the Father, there is a fattened calf. And this fattened calf, the message with the fattened calf is so important for each and every one of us. In biblical times, people would often keep at least one piece of livestock that was fed a special diet to fatten it up, thus making it more flavorsome when prepared as a meal. Slaughtering this livestock was to be done on rare and special occasions. Thus, when the prodigal son returned, the father kills the fatted calf to show that the celebration is out of the ordinary. Could you imagine the father, the loving father, had his fattened calf ready for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or however long that was? He was praying and yearning for his son to return. And he would be saying to his servants, don't touch, give the best food, hay, and best treatment, water, clean water. And that fattened calf was so spoiled, if you put it that way, you know, in anticipation of the returning of the prodigal son. So when the prodigal son returned, it was ready for slaughter. It was ready for slaughter. We could see some reflections of this about the fattened calf in Genesis 15, 9 and 10 and 17, 18 of the same chapter. And it says there, cut the calf in twain, allude to the custom of dividing a sacrifice into two parts between which the parties ratify a covenant passed. This is how they ratify a covenant. Remember when Abraham cut the calf in half, God passed through the calf. That's how things were ratified then. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that is this experience of each and every one of us who, like the prodigal son, returned to the father. Amen? That is how special each and every one of us. I don't have to look down on anyone. I am at the same place with anyone. You don't need to look down to anyone. You are also at the same place with anyone. We are all sinners. So in Luke 15:22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and the ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet and bring hither the fattened calf and kill it. All of that completes the story. Our story. Now, we have just had communion this morning. And it's in other persuasions, they have this what they call transubstantiation, right? That the priest praying over the elements miraculously becomes the actual body and the actual blood. We are not endorsing any cannibalism here. But there is a deep meaning for each and every one of us with regards to the fattened calf. In John 6, 53 to 60, it says there, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, this is in John 6, 53 to 60, and you could hardly read it there, but I will read it for you. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. In 57, it says there, as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. I'm glad we're not practicing cannibalism here. Okay. How do you, he says there, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna. How could you drink manna? Okay, you can't drink manna. There is an implication here that for each and every one of us that we are supposed to eat the fattened calf. This is spiritual. When was the last time you read your Bible? When was the last time you've done devotional and worship him in spirit and in truth? This is our call, brothers and sisters, to sit down with the Lord. That's why when Martha and Mary, the story of Martha and Mary, you know, was said in scripture, here's Martha doing this and doing that and serving the Lord and what have you, and not minding her, or, you know, trying to serve God. But Mary has the commendation from the Lord. Mary has chosen the best, which is sitting down and eating from the Lord, fellowshipping from the Lord. This is what the Lord is calling us into, brothers and sisters. And our society right now is pushing us, because of all the things that's going on, into busyness like Martha, and we don't have that time anymore to sit down and eat from the Lord. And in verse number 60, it says there, therefore many of the disciples, when they heard this, this is hard saying, who can understand it? It's really hard to make time and fellowship with the Lord and to love on the Lord. The more you know the individual, the more you love the individual, right? Could I hear an amen? Could I hear an amen? Okay. Hebrews 9, 12, 14. But Christ came as a high priest on the good thing of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifies for the purification of the flesh. If the blood of bulls and goats could do this, it says here, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Could you hear the love of God? You know, God is, the blood of bulls and goats could sanctify you, could sanctify me if we're living on the past. But God cranked it up and allowed his son to be slaughtered for our perfection. Amen? 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Wow. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. The word cleanses there is katarizo. And katarizo is like the waves banging and banging on us. Oh, there's an evil thought. The blood of Jesus, like a wave, cleanses us, so that when the time comes that we would be exiting this body,
And we would be presented before the holiness of God Almighty in all His perfection. There is no trace of sin. That is how powerful the blood of the Lord is. That is your hope. That is my hope. That is your faith. That is my faith. The love of the Father. Amen. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You are clean. I am clean. Because of the great love of God for us, He allowed His Son to be killed in our behalf. So the whole picture of Luke 15 makes our sonship and daughtership, if you have a problem with sonship, and daughtership complete. A new robe, a new ring, a new shoes, and the celebration through the killing of the calf. What great love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Amen. So in the beginning, we have God, the Father's love. That's the title. That was the title. But the real title would be this. God the Son is the Father's love. That's the real title. God the Son is the Father's love. He loves you so much. He loves me so much that He has sent His Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you received the Son as your Lord and Savior? Have you returned to the Father? Have you received your robe? You acknowledge your robe? Have you acknowledged your ring? Have you acknowledged your new shoes, the journey, the righteous journey? Have you feasted on the fattened calf? I invite you, brothers and sisters, go back to your devotionals. Read the scriptures. Journal what the Lord is saying to you. Feast on Him like Mary and grow in your faith. As the choir would be coming up over here, our praise and worship choir, I would like to pray for you. And allow you to interact with this word that the Lord has given us. That the Lord, if you feel like there's no thirst in your heart, that you know, you need to get back to really feasting on the calf or feasting in the Lord, and do that more intentionally. There are many materials that could aid us for this. Many. And I have been encouraging also my family to do the same and asking them, what's the word for today? You know, I think it's so hard to become a pastor and a daddy at the same time. But it has its benefits. My family is not perfect. Please pray for us. There's a lot of growing inside my household that needs to happen. And for each and every one of us, I guess, that would be also the same. There's a lot of growing for each and every one of us. And it takes the Lord's patience and love for each and every one of us that this would come. There's a certain promise that He who started a good work in you shall complete it until the day of His coming. He's a completer of our faith. So he would not just throw us down. I would like to just have a little short prayers, and as the choir would help us also in worship. Let's continue on worshiping. Dear God, we thank you, O Lord God, that you love us so much. This love is tremendous, Lord. The sacrifice of your Son to perfect us before you. The journey, Lord. Truly, Lord, your love is healing. It heals us every moment, every hour, Lord God, and brings us always back, O Lord God, to where we belong in you, in righteousness. God made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. We have become your righteousness through your Son. Lord, we are perfected before you, and teach us, Lord God, to walk the straight and narrow because we have new shoes. Help us, O Lord God, to see the identity that we have because we have new ring. A new ring, O Lord God, sealed by the Holy Ghost. We have a new robe, O Lord God, because we are new creations in you in Christ Jesus. Bless, Lord God, your people. Let this word, O Lord God, be not just another word, another Sunday, but challenge your people, Lord, when they go home, O Lord God, in their private places, Lord, that they would be like Mary, sitting down and feasting before your feet. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Christ's name, amen.